So good afternoon, everybody. I'm Rob Hodge. I'm the plant manager for the Rio Town Cogen plant. So I'm here to take you through concept to commercial operation of the facility. So we'll cover a few agenda items, give you a little background information on the BWL. We'll also talk about the Rio Town first, our steam production study and recommendations, selecting the design, build, startup, and commissioning team, what we built, startup, and commissioning your own plant, and then we'll have some time left over for some questions. So the BWL, who are we? The BWL is the largest municipal utility in Michigan and is owned by the citizens of Lansing. Largest groundwater source drinking water system in Michigan with 54,900 customers. Number of electric customers is 82,823 residential, 12,708 commercial, and 272 industrial. We also serve the Lansing downtown district with steam heating and chilled water. We've been supplying steam heating for the downtown Lansing area since 1919. We'll cover some of our major steam customers in the downtown Lansing area, which include the General Motors Grand River Assembly Plant. The Grand River Assembly Plant obviously builds the Cadillac and the Camaro that's coming online sometime in August or September this year. State of Michigan buildings, Cooley Law School, Lansing Community College, and the Accident Fund National Headquarters. Our peak seasonal load in the wintertime can reach up to 300,000 pounds per hour. In the summertime, it drops off to right around about 45,000, maybe 50,000 pounds per hour. Our distribution piping system is over 12 miles. So some of the firsts for Rio Town. This was the first new power plant built in Michigan in 25 years. It was the first power plant built by the BWL in the last 40 years. The last power plant that we built was the Erickson Power Station, which is a coal plant. It's the first natural gas-fired electric generating plant that we built, our first cogeneration plant, and it's among the cleanest and most efficient plants operating in Michigan and the United States at this time. So how do we get to this point? In 2010, we conducted a steam production study, which identified a couple different issues. So if everybody's familiar with Wink and Blink and a Nod to Three Stacks that houses the Eckerd Power Station, but it also has Moores Park Heating Station attached to it. So it's two separate plants under one roof. The Moores Park Power Station always supplied it the steam heating for the downtown Lansing area. You had four old Detroit Stoker boilers there that had a life about 43 to 55 years on average. So looking to upgrade that facility to continue on with the operation there, you were looking at roughly about a $32 million in capital expenditures. That's just to replace the external skins on three of the four boilers, upgrade to soot blowing systems, you're looking at new economizer superheater tubes, and also an upgrade for the boiler controls. So we've been looking at the best available control technology at that point in time. On top of that, you were looking at an additional $35 to $107 million in environmental upgrades to comply with the forthcoming regulations. Now, there'd be no guarantee that this would work and we'd meet all the recommendations, so at that point in time, we looked at it as it's a possible $67 to $139 million venture that we would have went on. So also, the uniqueness about the Eckerd Power Station is that there's three small units there at the Eckerd Power Station that produces about 100 megawatts of power. Now, those units were slated to retire around the 2017 mark. With that said, though, they also have a steam header system at the Eckerd Power Station, which provide the backup for the Moores Park Power Station. So in the event that Moores Park was having an outage, we used the Eckerd Power Station to back that up. So in looking at that, with the 2017, you were looking at having to retire generation at the same time in your backup for your steam system, it led us to Rio Town. So what we decided to do, we decided to build a new combined heat and power cogeneration facility. Some of the benefits include we would diversify our fuel mix. We've been mostly PRB coal at that point in time with the Eckerd Power Station, Erickson Power Station only burning coal. We would avoid burning 351,000 tons of coal a year, which was a reduction in mercury and SO2 emissions by 99%. We'd improve the efficiency of the steam system by operating out of this plant. And also, we would lower our NOx emissions by 85% and CO2 by 50%. Also, by building this facility, it helped us to exceed the EPA regulations for greenhouse gases of 17% by 2020. The major work at the Moores Park boilers, obviously with the age of 43 to 55 years, could trigger a new source review, which would kind of delay that project even more and cause even more money to be spent. And as I spoke about, the replacement of the 100 megawatts of the aging coal-fired electric generation that backed it up. So as you can see, this is a nice overview of the Rio Town plant here. Obviously right here, as you see the gas line comes in, our gas is provided by Consumers Energy. Our gas pressure coming in is usually about 280 to 315 pounds that we compress up to about 700 pounds of pressure to operate the combustion turbines. As we spin that generator on the back end, which is capable of 50 megawatts, we capture that hot exhaust here in our heat recovery steam generator and provide steam. Now, that steam can flow one or two directions. It can go out to the steam distribution system, or it can go into our 14.4 megawatt topping turbine that we have. So selecting the design, build, startup, and commissioning team. So obviously, we elected to have a project director and project manager to oversee the operation. We hired an owner's engineer to oversee the design of the plant and also the construction of the plant at the same time, and we hired a construction facility company to build the plant. Their job was also to hire a commissioning team, which, as you'll read on that last line, remember this part, BWO operations staff was to participate in startup and early operation of the equipment. I'll get to that later. So what we built? So we built two GE LM6000 DLE PF engines, 50 megawatts apiece, two once-through steam generators capable of 175,000 pounds of steam. Excuse me. The interesting thing about the once-through steam generators is this is actually a dry boiler, so it can be used as a stack. On top of that, it gives us the ability to run the units in simple cycle, or we can go with the cogeneration facility and make steam. We have a gas-fired package boiler of 175,000 pounds. Obviously, there's a lot of redundancy there to make sure that we can meet our peak demand load in the wintertime of 300,000 pounds. The 14.4 megawatt topping steam turbine generator, two 100% reciprocating gas compressors. The reciprocating gas compressors, we only have to run one to be able to supply the energy for the plant. 350% boiler feed and condensate pumps. For the most time, we only have to run one of these pumps, but in the wintertime, obviously, with a 300,000 pounds, we're really pumping it out pretty good. You're looking at three condensate pumps running, possibly, and usually two boiler feed pumps. The concept behind this, obviously, is redundancy, so you can make sure you still maintain your maintenance that you need to do on your equipment, because everybody knows Murphy and how that works. Two 100% circulating water pumps, two 100% aux cooling pumps, two 100% plant air compressors, and three 50% reverse osmosis trains. The RO units there, we run three of them, but we only have to run one during the low demand. High demand, we use two. Those are capable of about 325 gallons of water per minute. So here's a nice picture of the facility here. As you can see, can everybody hear me? I kind of got a big mouth right there. As you can see here on the front side of the building, this is our corporate office headquarters, which houses the HR, IT, engineering, and also the executive staff. The back side of the building here is actually the plant. Up here at the top, you can see the footings if you're close enough there. We also installed a solar array, which is capable of another 12 kilowatts of power. This aerial shot over here is another picture of the plant. Right here, the train depot that we revitalized also. In the back here, and I don't know if you really can make it out, there's also a hydrogen fuel cell there that's capable of another 6 kilowatts of power that feeds into the grid. Here's a lovely picture of the little castle that we rebuilt that was in desperate shape. Currently, we use that for our Board of Commissioner meetings, and also we use that for local community events. So I'll take you through some pictures of the plant and what we got installed here. So obviously, this is the 14.4 megawatt steam turbine. It's an Elliott steam turbine and a Hyundai generator, a partnership that they went into. We use this unit runs off the steam that's only produced for the once-through steam generators. The once-through steam generators produce a high quality of steam, where the package boiler that we use to back up those produces not as high quality of steam. It's used to just go out to the system for support. During the wintertime months, we tend to turn this off so we stay as efficient as possible, because obviously we want to meet that peak demand and only create the amount of steam that we need to operate. in the summertime and springtime like now, this piece of equipment is imperative to our operation because of the fact of steam load's only 50,000, but at the same time, we can send out 50,000 and capture another 40, 50,000 off the turbine there and make 4 megawatts of power off of it. Oh, I'm so sorry. All right. Here, as you see, our package boiler, which is capable of 175,000 pounds of steam, which was used to back up the once-through steam generators. Once, like I said before, this creates just steam just for the distribution system. It is not piped to the steam turbine at all. Highly efficient at about 40,000 pounds when we run it in standby mode in the winter operation. It runs about 95% efficiency. When it gets up to about 110, you're still looking at over about 88%, 85%. The boiler feed pumps there, as I talked about, there's three of those. And in the background, the gray here, this is your actual once-through steam generator. And like I talked about before, those are designed to run dry. They can also be run in simple cycles so they can take the heat and it won't cause any damage to the unit. Here's a picture of the condensate, aux cooling water, and circulating water pipe system. As you can see, all the systems are color-coded within the operation of the plant. I promise you it's still as clean as it looks right there. We try. The reverse osmosis systems here, as you can see, there's three trains. Obviously, during the wintertime, we run two of those trains for production. In the summertime, you only have to have one. So it's 325 gallons per minute. We take in our city water and then refine our water for our process that we need. As you can see right here, the blue tanks are just basically portable mixed beds that we run through to make sure we pull out all the impurities from the water. The duct burner skid. This is low pressure gas that's applied off of this. Now how this works is that the once-throughs, as they recapture that hot exhaust gas, they're only capable of about 105,000 pounds of steam. We bring this duct burner skin, the skid that usually only operates in the wintertime, to provide another 70,000 pounds of steam, and that's what gets us up to the 175,000 pounds. The unique thing about this skid also in the programming of the skid is that in the wintertime, like I talked about, we don't run with that steam turbine on. So as the system, as it warms up during the day, your system's going to drop off. This duct burner skin is programmed to follow that load profile. As you can see here, this is the gas turbine package. This is one of the packages. That first door, if you can make it out right there, this is the actual 747 jet engine that's installed here. The back door would be the generator with the 50 megawatts. This is just another picture of the mezzanine area and the aerator. As you can see, like I talked about, with all the systems are color-coded. So startup and commissioning. So about 2.5 months prior to commissioning the plant, we lost our actual commissioning manager. So you can imagine it kind of put us in a tough spot. The project had started to slide and got behind a little bit. We elected as a project team to have the plant engineer conduct the rest of the startup and become the project and commissioning manager at that point in time. Due to the challenges with falling behind, we had to implement several staff. We implemented a couple operators, two instrument control techs. We got a controls engineer, project engineer, two maintenance supervisors, myself, and also a trainer. That's interesting, too, because at the same time, we were still operating the Morris Park, Eckerd Power Station, the Pefley Chill Water Plant. We were commissioning this at the same time. So as you can imagine, I didn't sleep for probably the better part of a year. We did have some help, though. Some of our major equipment suppliers, GE, did help with the gas turbine engines. The boilers were commissioned by, the package boiler was commissioned by Cohen and Victory. IST took care of the once-through steam generators, and U.S. Water helped out with the reverse osmosis units. We made it, $182 million project, plant built on time, on budget, with a commercial operation date of July 1, 2013. Questions? Yes, sir. Main engineer, as in controls wise?
Design engineer for the whole thing.
So Burns and Rowe designed the plant. ABB designed the control system for the plant. The combustion turbines have their own control system. So GE handled that piece of it. ABB was on site to help with the controls piece of it for the balance of plant operation. And our plant engineer that helped us out was Justin Hill, and our controls engineer was Tim Hyde. How'd I know somebody was going to ask that question? To be totally honest, that's not part of the plant. I know very little about that fuel cell, but I bet Ms. Sue Warren right here would probably know something. So I honestly don't know. I can get you some information on it. It was one of the last pieces of the project that once it was out the door, we really didn't concern ourselves with it too much. That was turned over to somebody else. Yes, sir. In-house load, you're probably looking at, I would say in-house load's about 6 to 7 megawatts. That's about it. Depending upon how we balance it out, it's about that. It's about right, 6 to 7 megawatts in-house load. Question? Okay. Yes, sir. I only have three limits. So lessons learned, and we'll be a little more specific in which regard. Commissioning your own plant? You know, one of the biggest things that I found during this whole process was the adult learning curve, and I'm going to speak about that, is that as you bring this highly advanced technology and you're trying to run this and implement this with people who aren't necessarily so acclimated with computer systems and stuff like that, you see a huge learning curve with that. So not everybody learns at the same pace, but when you take people who've been operating boilers for 25, 30 years, and now you've taken them from the Stone Age, as I call it, to the Jetsons, you kind of run into some problems there. I would say another big issue that I would tell people that with these plants is that, and we found this, is there needs to be amount of criteria put in place that people understand it before we move on. And, you know, we didn't do a EPC like a Black and Veatch, but before we move on to the next step, we need to make sure all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed. Because some of the times what we found was that we moved forward a little bit too fast and we took 2 steps forward and 5 steps back. So we kind of became our own worst enemy sometimes, but pressure, it happens. And don't feed people fast food for 3 months. It's bad for their health.
And don't worry, we're not going to feed you fast food here. This is our break and buffet lunch. It's out the main doors, and we'd encourage you to grab a plate and bring it back to your table or someone else's table. We'll allow for networking. We are going to start the afternoon session promptly at 1. We'll be back on time at that point, but we hope that this provides some opportunity for networking, and there's another break in the afternoon as well. So enjoy lunch.